Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye in the World. I'm John Batchelor. New York City, the five boroughs. I welcome Harry Siegel, writes his column for the New York Daily News, and is a senior editor at The City, an online journal I highly recommend. How is the city doing? How's it in recovery? Since the pandemic, since the fall off of jobs, since the city went silent in 2020, 2021. Harry, a very good evening to you. I watched the statistics that you at The City publish each week. And right now, subway ridership looks to be moving sideways in the high 60s compared to 2019, pre-pandemic baseline. And office occupancy, while comparatively well in hand, considering other large cities are struggling, it's at 47%, suggesting we still have this great deal to do to get people to come back to the office or not. What is the opinion, Harry? How long is this going to take to get from 47% to 80 or 90% for occupancy, or can it be done? Is that a bridge too far? Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, John. We're going to find out, but it looks like the answer may be sort of forever, and sort of some of these buildings are going to have to adapt to new uses. Already, there are two towers in Lower Manhattan around Wall Street that are getting converted into residential apartments. And that's a lengthy, loud, and expensive process, an expectation that more of that may be coming. There's some strange rules, laws that make it much easier for buildings that went up before, I think, 1981 than for ones that went up afterward, and other nuances there. But the short of it is, while the boroughs in many ways feel recovered, and Brooklyn, as we were talking about a moment ago before coming on air, is thriving, Manhattan is not. And Manhattan, of course, is been the tax base and the center of things. And so if a number of those offices are unoccupied, the value of those buildings is much less, and the market's frozen for a while until they can readjust and buyers and sellers can meet up at whatever lower price point. I think it's going to be a painful transition for New York to what could well be a much less affluent new normal, and one where maybe we're at 75 or 80% of pre-pandemic train ridership. These people are going out at nights and to dinners and around, but they're not all going into the business districts every morning.
I read a response from San Francisco Mayor London Breed to the same story of San Francisco, which has its own variety of problems. Homelessness, something that doesn't weigh, to my knowledge, on Manhattan in the same fashion. But Mayor Breed, this is San Francisco Chronicle, is targeting the San Francisco Unified Schools District, the San Francisco City College, and the Office of the City Administrator to move into the empty downtown buildings. Is that being considered for Manhattan?
Not at this point. And John, in some obvious ways, that is at best buying time and sort of picking winners and losers. Like, you need these buildings occupied to have the tax base to pay your workers. So when you're paying rent, to move your workers into these buildings to help keep their landlords afloat, and obviously you have a fair amount of ability to pick which landlords, maybe you can buy time that way if things are going to stabilize around where they were. But it's far from clear that's going to happen. I think all of these big city mayors right now don't necessarily want to talk about, but are thinking a lot about how to avoid the possibility of a decline cycle where less people go downtown, less money comes in for services, fewer people want to live in the region, and then there's even less money for services, and that sort of continuing set of problems.
You mentioned Brooklyn, and I have familiarity with Brooklyn because my millennial children are in Brooklyn. And what I've learned from them anecdotally is that Brooklyn is a happening place. That's you, Harry. You've been in Brooklyn your whole life. You presented it to me for some years as a quiet backwater. Manhattan is all the action. Well, no more. I watched the statistics that you published with your colleagues in the city. Manhattan, since 2019, has lost 2,023 retail locations. But since the same time period, Brooklyn's gained 1,267. And I'm going to guess this is already an old number, continues to grow. Why is that, Harry? Tell everybody why Brooklyn has become such a hot spot. I think of it this way. The hottest city in Europe is Milan. The hottest city in America is Brooklyn. Why?
Oh, man. John, this is tricky because I live in a very quiet corner of Brooklyn, but it hasn't been a backwater. It's actually was surging so much before the pandemic that one of the issues was that the relative savings compared to Manhattan that shifted people there had more or less gone away, and large swaths of the borough, felt just about as expensive and gentrified and this and that. What's happening now, though, again, with fewer people commuting to Manhattan in those office districts, with more people having left Manhattan during the course of the pandemic, with lots of retail exiting Manhattan, where, you know, the ground floor rents have been very pricey. And, you know, some stores are renting them effectively just as $20,000 a month or whatever billboards for the brands. There are bargains now to be had in Brooklyn compared to that. There's not quite the same immediate decline spiral. And so you can feel the difference. I was out the other night with my mother to go to a sushi place in Park Slope, and come in and they say, "Do you have a reservation?" And I said, "Really? I thought they were joking. I thought this was Brooklyn." And they were definitely not joking. It's interesting. The region is doing all right, but the center quite literally is not holding.
The Brooklyn attractions, according to your article and according to the anecdotes I have, include your parks. Now, I've never walked in Brooklyn parks. Are they better looking now than they were before? Or is it just in the eye of the beholder, a young person walking in the park or bicycling in the park is joyful? Is that what's happened?
I think they're about the same, but a bunch of the parks are glorious, and most Brooklynites live in pretty close proximity to at least one park, and not that far from one of the big ones. And being there and seeing them full of people, picnicking and frolicking and exercising and walking and whatever else, there's something lovely about that. And I think the pandemic, people were struggling how and where to spend their days and where they could be outside and all these sorts of things did sort of renew the love affair with parks. I just have to add that Central Park was more or less the study. And, the guys thought that Prospect Park was the masterpiece, and they were entirely right about that.
Harry, we have a couple of minutes, and there's a complicated story which you address in your New York Daily News piece. During the Blasio administration, there were allegations that donations to the de Blasio campaign were rewarded with city business. Is there the same story during the Adams administration?
Not quite. And in brief, a bunch of people just got charged by the Manhattan District Attorney with scheming to rip off the city's generous public matching funds program with fake donations that went to the Adams account. And they're on a wiretap talking about the payoffs they want to get from an Adams administration for doing this. They were in touch with an Adams campaign representative during the campaign to make sure they were getting credited with the money their straw donors were bringing in and the giant matching fund. So a $250 check, you get another $2,000. But to this point, there's no indication that the Adams administration, in fact, did anything to pay them off. So is that the same? Maybe that's in the eye of the beholder. I don't think it looks very good. But I also think this is long how the game has been played in New York, and not just by the winning candidates.
Has the mayor commented on these stories?
He's had to. One of the people involved is a former police officer who he's known professionally and socially for 25 years. And he's just said, we've done nothing wrong. We followed all the rules. And to this point, outside of these people communicating with the campaign representative to try to get credited with that one straw donor, as I mentioned, there are not any other indicators of the campaign or the administration being involved here, at least from what Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg just put out.
Is there an investigation underway in any fashion?
not to anyone's knowledge, and there are many indicators that, I mean, you can't prove a negative, but I would almost definitively say no, there is not.
Harry Siegel, he writes his column for the New York Daily News. He's a senior editor at the City, a journal, and Brooklyn is no longer a secret. Harry did his best for years, but the secret is out. It's a hot place, and it's happening. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.